Championship weekend in college football, and as usual, the SEC championship game takes center stage, although not as usual, Alabama's not part of it. It seems like every year they're right in the center of it all, and Alabama's a big part of it. Gary Danielson is in the center of it all. He'll be there for the broadcast on Saturday between Georgia and LSU, and Gary is kind enough to give us a few moments here this morning on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Sonny. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Great.
We are fantastic. Now, Gary, we've talked to you every year right around this time, and we always have this classic debate, and we know your stance on the playoff, and that is...
I can't remember my stance.
Oh, come on. You always get questioned about it, the whole, you know, the conference...
That's my stance. I can't remember. I really can't.
The conference champions should play for the playoff. You should win your conference to get in. Am I accurate with that?
I would say that it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Okay.
That the conference champions should be considered first, and then from there you should see if someone outside of the champions deserves to go in over the conference champions. So it would have to be unequivocally apparent that a non-champion is better than one of the four champions.
Gotcha. Because it would be very hard, I think, to argue with LSU's resume, LSU and Ohio State. I mean, to me, those two teams should be in the playoff regardless of what happens on Saturday.
And Clemson.
This is a perfect example of what I thought was my stance. Let's suppose LSU or Ohio State gets upset this year. They would not be champions, but their body of work for the whole season still would put them into the championship four.
Yes. Okay. We agree on that then. Good. Yes.
So if Georgia does pull if Georgia does pull the upset, basically it's 1-4 the way it is with the numbers being rearranged if everybody else holds serve.
I believe that would be the case this year.
Yeah,
top to bottom. I don't know if this is a perfect example of a Georgia team who has struggled a bit all year. You know, you watch them. There was a Georgia fan who wrote somewhere that I'm so excited that my team is still in the playoff hunt. Hard to believe, though, that I've watched every minute of every game and have not enjoyed 1 minute of the season this year.
That's because we're all fixed on offense, right? Because their offense is somewhat laborious.
And they haven't, I mean, if you look at who they've played this year, I think they've played seven backup quarterbacks, four true freshman quarterbacks. Their statistics are very good, but there's a bit of an asterisk next to it in that they've played, you know, first-time starters, wide receivers at quarterback. The offenses that they've played have been challenged, to say the least.
And I know LSU's defense isn't great, but Georgia's offense, like you said, plus Cager's out for the year, Pickens with that stupid fight, he's missing the first half.
Right.
And Swift, he's going to play probably, but he's banged up. Can they even score enough points to make this game competitive?
Well, I do think that, Tony, their offense has to help their defense in this game. And if they have a path, if you look at the LSU defense, they're really built for modern football. You know, they have, you know, maybe three nose tackles playing inside. They're hard to run inside because of those three guys playing. And then they have two corners, Derek Stingley and Christian Fulton, who are both going to be first-round draft picks whenever they eventually come out. The rest of their players, you know, six guys, are basically safeties. They're smallish types, and the way Georgia's built with their massive offensive line, I think they could get to the edge against them. You know, Wilson and Thomas are both NFL tackles. They're both 350 pounds, and they could muscle their smallish edge players in this game and keep the ball away from them. I mean, I think that's the game plan for Georgia. Keep the ball away from Joe Burrow in this explosive LSU offense.
We're talking to Gary Danielson of CBS Sports. He will have the call 4 o'clock on CBS, Georgia and LSU for the SEC championship game. Does Jake Fromm look across the field and Joe Burrow and say, hey, you're having my season here, buddy? I mean, when he went to the championship game as a freshman, everybody thought, well, Jake Fromm's going to win Heismans. I mean, this is going to be this great checkered career.
Right.
Or, you know, and it hasn't quite gone that way, although he is in the top four right now, so it's not gone too badly for him.
Jake Fromm's in the top four in the Heisman?
Georgia.
Georgia is still very much in.
No, I don't think Jake is.
No, Jake is an interesting player. Everything in his life has built success upon success, even since his time playing in the Little League World Series. His first 2 years, his first start was at Notre Dame, a game I said, frankly, how can a freshman go into South Bend and win in a primetime game. He was managed beautifully. His team, you know, a good football team around him. And everything has been positive. This year has been a struggle. New play caller, new receivers, and the expectations of what they were going to do this year, you know, I mean, you know, I played and I broadcasted a lot of games, and if I tried to put a definition on pressure, it would be meeting expectations is what I'd call pressure. And, you know, you see it, you know, if you play golf, you know, the expectation of making a 4-foot putt or a lot more, and the pressure, you feel it more than a 20-foot putt. I mean, you know, you luck one in. I think Jake this year has felt the pressure. As much as he tries to ignore what's going on around him, I think he hears it. And the fact that his former backup, Justin Fields, is having such an explosive year, and if you really listen to the Georgia talk radio, call after call after call says, if we would have kept Justin Fields instead of Jake Fromm, we would be Ohio State instead of Georgia right now in offense. Now, I don't know if that's fair, but when has talk radio ever been fair? Right?
That's for sure. Now, we saw Justin Fields in Ann Arbor on Saturday.
Right.
They blew out, you know, Wisconsin earlier in the season. I see. Is there any reason that Ohio State shouldn't, you know, just stomp them again?
I think Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU are the three most talented teams in the country, top to bottom. They have weaknesses, but top to bottom. I think Alabama could play with those four because top to bottom with those four wide receivers and a first-round draft pick at quarterback. The fact that Alabama will, if everybody comes out, I think we'll have 7 first-round draft picks this year, and if all of their receivers and players could come out, they'd have more than that. So I thought those were the four most talented teams. Wisconsin's an interesting team. We've seen them. Michigan's seen them in the past. You know, they grind you out, and sometimes it can get frustrating in one of these games. I'd be shocked if they could beat this Ohio State team. And I know people in the Michigan area don't want to hear this, and a lot of areas don't probably want to hear this about Urban Meyer, but you got to give this guy credit. I mean, you know, I've been following him for a long time. You know, when he was on the Notre Dame staff, when he went to Bowling Green, he basically put Utah into the Pac-12, his success there. He took him off the map there. He was the team in 2006 at Florida that kind of changed the edge of, you know, in the debate between Florida and Michigan. And then when Florida beat Ohio State, he changed the picture of the SEC football. And then, you know, if you watch an NFL game every Sunday, you see Ohio State players playing on every team. They've always had talent. But he kind of changed the edge in his distance in this matchup with Michigan and the Big Ten. They're a juggernaut now. I mean, when you watch them play, they're talent. So it's hard to look at what Urban has done in totality and not give him the credit he deserves.
Well, going back to sports talk radio, Gary, the speculation obviously has been that he would be the next coach at USC. And kind of quietly yesterday, USC announced that Clay Helton's coming back for at least one more year. Do you think they made the phone call before they made that announcement to Urban Meyer?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Do you think he'll coach? Do you think he'll coach again, though?
That's a good question. He's pretty good on TV, you know, and I don't know if he has that burning desire to try it one more time. I always thought that there was a place for, you know, the two franchises I played for, you know, Detroit and Cleveland, for that special guy to take over a franchise, you know, and just hand them the keys and say, help us out. A somewhat of a Pat Riley deal that he got in Miami. Come over here, run this, hire your next coach and run the whole franchise. I know he's from Ohio. Would he be tempted to do an NFL gig? I don't think he fits in Dallas with Jerry Jones, but I could see someone like, you know, the Lions with their, you know, ownership, the way they like to kind of let the people run the franchise, or Cleveland. You know, maybe he'd get the bug to try to run an NFL franchise. I don't know if he's got the desire to go back into the recruiting wars of college football and do that again.
So you think he'd be an upgrade over Freddie Kitchens?
Well, I don't know Freddie that well, but the Cleveland Browns are struggling.
I know. I'm kidding.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
And mentioning Ohio State and the juggernaut they've become, a lot of talk obviously around here has been about Michigan and, you know, right. Harbaugh's 0-5, and is it just a talent issue, which I think that's predominantly what it is. There are people who think Jim Harbaugh should lose his job because they haven't beat Ohio State and they haven't been to Indy yet. How would you're from afar, you don't watch every game, obviously, because
right.
You're doing the SEC. How would you evaluate Jim Harbaugh and what the expectations should be and are for this team?
You know, guys, I've known Jim. I love his competitive spirit. I thought he was the perfect choice for Michigan. He had it rolling there. He might have come within inches of turning the program into one of those, you know, top five or six talented programs. He was a hot place to go to. And then it just seemed to slide, and it's hard to get it back going. Jim is the ultimate competitor, and the strength of what Michigan can be. I just don't know where you go if you're Michigan. You know, I mean, to me, hiring Jim at Michigan is equivalent to hiring Kirby Smart at Georgia. I mean, they both went there. They're highly competitive. Kirby has got it turned in the right situation. I will say this, the difference between maybe Michigan and Georgia right now. I mean, Georgia is a hotbed of recruits. You know, you can yell out your window at Georgia and say, you know, first running back that gets here is going to get the job, and, you know, five of them will show up. They just are loaded with talent right around that campus. Michigan's recruiting job's a little tougher. They have to cast a wider net. And I think Jimmy loves to work. I think he's highly competitive, and I'd give him another chance to retool this thing. As I say, what was it, 2 years ago? Where did he come within 6 inches of beating them?
Yeah,
on a controversial
call. 3 years ago, yeah.
3 years ago, yeah. So, yes, it was three. I remember the last two. They were pretty tough, that's for sure. So, I don't know. You know, I hope he can do it. I love the guy. I loved watching him play, and I everybody. It's football's better when Michigan is playing that type of football.
Gary, appreciate the time. Happy holidays. We'll be watching LSU and Georgia 4 o'clock on Saturday on CBS. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gary.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Gary Danielson here on 97.1 The Ticket.